John chapter number 14, please. Look at John chapter 14. Been dealing with this tremendous sermon that we find just before the Lord Jesus Christ is taken to the cross of Calvary. What a marvelous, marvelous sermon. And it wasn't all preached in one spot. It's kind of probably, it seems like that he started saying some of these things when they were in the upper room, and it continues maybe even past the temple and on the way to the, I'm forgetting which garden. Where are we going? Garden of Gethsemane. Thank you. All I could think of was an olive garden or something. I'm not even hungry, so I don't know what my problem is. John chapter 14, and I want to just read a couple, three verses here. Verse 15, 16, 17, and 18. Verse 15 says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." Great, great words. As we've looked at this chapter, we began, of course, in chapter 14, verse number 1. We saw there the Lord Jesus. He's telling them that, you know, well, he told them in the previous chapter that he was going to be leaving. But he promises them that he is going to prepare a place for them. That's exciting. Our Savior has been preparing a place for the last 2,000 years. What is that going to be like? If it took, and don't, I'm saying that wrong, since the Lord took 6 days to create the heavens and the earth, rested on the seventh, what in the world has he been making for us all these years? Glorious, glorious, the preparation that has been taking place for you and for me. And then we find that he tells them how they can get there. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father," he says, "but by me." And so it's solely, wholly by him. Well, then Philip, he questions about the Father. And he doesn't quite understand some things. In verse number 8, he says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." And so Jesus takes a little bit and he talks about the relationship of a father and son that can be had. And you and I, when we will accept Christ as our Savior, we are brought into the family of God, and God then becomes our Father. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father." I mean, think about that for a second. Our Father. And a relationship that was hinted at in the Old Testament that not really delved into much. God in the Old Testament was the stern judge on the throne there doing his judgment. But now Jesus introduces us to this wonderful relationship that we can have with the Father. And he ended that particular thought by saying, "Whatever we ask of him, he will do it." I think I used the illustration of Christina with her daddy. About anything she asks, she probably can get out of him. Is that true? But she's told me she's not as good at it as Emily. And Emily gets more than she does. Is that what you... Okay. Well, she's been at it a little longer, a little bit more practice. I'm sure you'll get there one of these days. But anyways, and girls are real good at that. And guys, we just don't know how to handle it. We don't know what to do with it. And so we succumb just like Danny does. And God the Father, he's so wondrous to us. And so we ask and he does that. And then he makes this tremendous statement, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Wow. "If you love me, keep my commandments." There's a problem there. How many have done that? You say, "Well, I've done a pretty good job." We're not talking about doing your best. We're talking about doing the absolute. "Keep my commandments." There's no exceptions there. But notice the next verse. He says, "And I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter." So we find here that this next verse has to go with it. That's why it starts with "and." And he's telling us here, there is another that will come alongside and be our helper. I don't know what this means to you, but there's a Greek word. It's parakletos. And the parakletos, or paraclete, as some people want to just say it, is used five times in the New Testament. Four of those times, it is translated comforter. One of those times, it is translated advocate. In each case, the literal meaning of that comforter, that paraclete, is one that is called alongside to help. Do you need help? Look at verse number 17 or 15 again, and I ask you, do you need help? Yeah. We have this great relationship with the Father. We can ask anything. And then He asks us, or says to us, if we love Him, keep my commandments. Oh my goodness, we need help because we can't do it. But yet we find we can have help in keeping those commandments. And that's the glorious thought of the next couple of verses there. You know, a lot of folks don't get saved because they're afraid that, or they don't believe that they can live the life. I've had people make that comment to me. We talk about getting saved, comment about, and we'll be talking about, you need to accept Christ, and they understand the need, they realize that they need to, and they say, but if I do, I won't be able to live it. By the way, I wish some saved people were so concerned about it as some unsaved people. Amen? And they look as, I can't do it. And though I have to try to explain to them, no, you can't. But God is able to help you do it. When you and I get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to reside within us. The indwelling Spirit of God. And that's a hard thing to understand, that God lives within us. And He who lives within us has come there to help us to live as we should. And He's there to make some changes that you and I might be able to do that. Notice again verse number 16. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Jesus said He was leaving, didn't He? And so now He's saying, hey, I will pray to the Father that He will give you one who will come and He will comfort. He will be your paraclete. He'll be the one called alongside to help. Your advocate is translated another place. And in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither understandeth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Somebody said, how can you know if the Holy Spirit of God is in you? Probably about the same way you can figure out that somebody's broken your house. If you don't understand His presence, it may be very well true that He is not present in your life. And you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within and there to help us. He's the one who will help us make marriages work. He's the one to help us to love the brethren. He's the one that comes to help us provide for our families and pay for the bills. He's the one that's there to help us through all the situations that are in life. But may I say this? If we don't attempt something, how can He help? God doesn't say this. It's not in His Bible. But poor Richard Almanack said, if God helps those that help themselves. It's certainly a pretty good truth that we can look at. And God wants to help us. But we need to start. Amen? Yeah. Don't expect God to do everything. Listen, God does all the saving, doesn't He? God does all of that work. But when it comes to living our lives, listen, don't leave it all up to God. Let's put it this way. Are you able-bodied? Okay. God said that we could ask anything we wanted. He'd give it to us. So you're sitting there and you say, boy, I'd just love to have an ice cold drink of water. God, would you bring that to me? What do you reckon God might say to you? Bobby, I see all of your faith. Probably say, get off that seat and get up and go in there. It's in there if you want to go get it. Okay? I mean, even Moses had to smite the rock before the water came out. See? There's some things God wants us to do, but God helps us when we do it. We understand we can't do any saving, but when it comes to some things in life, we're going to keep the commandments. We've got to start. And God helps us to finish those things. Great God. Let's notice something else. Chapter 14 we're in. Go down to verse number 26 and see what it says here about the Holy Spirit. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. A lot of folks, they don't think that they can ever understand the Bible. They don't think they can know it. They think it's beyond their reach. But is that what that verse tells us? No, God wants to teach us the Word of God. Matter of fact, this promise is twofold. He's going to help us to remember, and He's going to help us to understand it. I don't know about you, but I need a lot of help in remembering. My forgetter works real good, but God never forgets anything. And so God gives us this great promise. However, the person who refuses to read this book, the person who refuses to study this book, how in the world can the Holy Spirit of God help him to remember what he has never ever heard? Or help him understand anything that he's never read? And the real problem is not with God, it's because we won't start. I've told you this in the past. There was a family that we became friends with in Bible college, and there was a lot of Sunday nights. There would be four or five families that got together for just a little fellowship, wherever we was at, generally they'd make some little thing to eat afterwards. And you know how Baptists are. We got to eat in order to fellowship. We think that fellowship and food goes together. They both real close in the dictionary. So we get together and do a little bit. And we didn't go to these all the time, but we had the privilege. One night we had them over at our house. And sometimes this is what would happen. And they were at our house. I asked Ed Skaggs if he'd preach. Now, we've been in church all day, and we'd go to Sunday school, and most of us teach Sunday school. We'd go to church time. We had an evening service. Some of us would go in the afternoon to the rest homes. There was a few guys who went to the jails, and we'd be preaching there. And then we got together, and I said, Ed, would you preach? Ed was older than most of us, and he was, oh, I don't know, in his mid-30s, early 40s, somewhere in there. Ed had gotten saved. And been in church for a while. And Ed had a good understanding of the Word of God. And I remember he got up and he began to preach in my house right in front of my front door. And as I sat there, I was thinking, wow, the stuff he knows. I was so taken by it. And I thought, wow, I'll never know all that stuff. And yet, if we keep studying, keep reading, keep at it, it's amazing what God reveals to us. Amen? And it's something we have to do. God wants to do that in our lives. Our problem is we don't follow what Isaiah said when he said, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. We won't do what Paul said to Timothy when he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. But we must. We've got to start. Well, the Holy Spirit is called alongside to help. We use that literal term there. Go to chapter 15 with me a moment. Chapter 15, and notice a couple of verses here about the Holy Spirit. In verse number 26, it says, "When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He will testify of Me. And you also shall bear witness, because ye have been with Me from the beginning." Now notice here, He's saying, listen, I will be with you, and you will bear witness. So oftentimes, we make the excuse, I don't know what to say to a lost person. I don't know how to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. The real problem most of the time is we're afraid to. But an interesting thing will happen if we allow it, and that is the Holy Spirit of God will give us boldness. Read the book of Acts and you find that the thing that took place in their lives as they were filled with the Spirit of God, as they spake the Word of God with boldness. Understand something. You can speak with boldness, but you can still have fear inside. Talk to men, as I have had the privilege a few times to do, talk to men who have been heroes in battle and did heroic acts, and yet they were scared to death. But they saw the need and they went for it. And the same thing be true for you and I when we begin to witness for Him. God can give us the boldness to do it. The problem is, if we never start, God can't help us. If we're not willing to begin the process, God can't help us. And it's an amazing thing when we have our objective to speak to somebody about Christ, how God will open the door. It's simply amazing. Well, 2 or 3 weeks ago, my sister-in-law was dying, and I wanted to talk to her about Christ. And with all the family around and everything, I didn't know how in the world that I could get it in without somebody interrupting everything else. And it was amazing how everybody just kind of peeled off to the side, and I had her all to myself. Wow. And she started the conversation. Yeah. It's amazing. You see, if we're willing to start by just putting ourselves in the place, it's amazing what God will do. And our problem is, we don't see God do those things because we don't start. The Holy Spirit of God is there to help us, not to do it all. Just like He's not going to bring you a drink of water. Now, if you're a quadriplegic and you're in need of water, it is legitimate to say, God, would you bring me a drink of water, and expect Him somehow to bring that to you. That's legitimate. He probably used somebody. It's the way He does it. But if He's going to help us in things that we can do, we need to what? Exercise that part of starting. Notice one more thing, and we'll go to 1 John for this. 1 John chapter number 2. One of the greatest truths in my life as I've grown in Christ is to understand and see the inner workings of the Spirit of God as He seeks to help us and move us through things. Now let's notice this one. Chapter number 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not." Well, that sounds good, but guess what? So, we find another "and," don't we? "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Advocate. there's that paraclete, not comforter this time, but advocate. And he's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wow. Well, we've talked about keeping the commandments, but I want us to look at something else here. He tells us not to sin. Isn't that true? But if we do, we are encouraged to forsake it by confessing it to the Lord. And we are able to seek God in this because of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get help in confessing your sins if you don't want to confess them. And the reason too often we do not want to confess our sins is because we love them. Years ago, we had a couple in our church. And he smoked fairly heavily. She begged him to quit. I don't remember. It seems like one time he even mentioned him. He'd sure like to. And as many of you know, that's a very, very difficult one. And so you know what she began to pray? And she said, would you pray with me on this? God, make those things taste horrible. You know what happened? God answered her prayer. God answered her prayer. He liked it. But when he found out he didn't like it, he was willing to let God help him. Amen? Interesting. How that kind of works. And then God gives us assurance of forgiveness. And praise God for that. I like 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now herein lies another problem. In this verse, here's the problem. Oh, how God smote me with this a few years back. If we confess our sins, what? He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Did he mean what he said? Yeah. And I prayed and I asked God to forgive me, and I just didn't feel like I was forgiven. So I prayed again and I just felt the same. And God smote me. And he says, read that and look what it says. I mean, he didn't say that out loud, but that was... And what does it say? He's faithful and just. What are we supposed to do with God? Are we supposed to believe him by feelings? We feel God, or we believe him? I'm expressing this wrong. We simply believe him. I looked and I thought, wow, God has forgiven me. I don't feel like it. God, I'd sure like to feel like it, but I don't feel like it. But you said, I felt so free, though I felt like I was still loaded down. Does that make sense? And I don't know how long it was a few days, few weeks, I don't know. And the feeling of being loaded down was gone too. Because I chose to believe him. See, it's an active thing. And though I had no feelings with it, I just took him his word and said, hey, it's gone. And praise the Lord, we have that privilege. We're going to sin. We shouldn't, but we do. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to do something. You see, he's not only a comforter, but he's a convictor. And he's going to show us that sin. And he's going to gently pull us to the spot where we say, I'm sorry, Lord. And help us to understand we have an advocate. Wow. We have a lawyer, if you please. We have one to plead our case. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, when the Lord pleads our case, it's basically this. It's paid for. There's no debt. Amen. It's done. Praise God for that. Holy Spirit of God, thank God for His presence in our lives. And so when the Lord Jesus is telling His disciples He's going to be leaving and tells them to not let their heart be troubled, and He's telling them, hey, listen, I'm going to do something over here, but while I'm gone, I want to send the Holy Spirit, sometimes called the indwelling Christ. And this person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God, comes and lives within us. And He's there as the one called alongside to help us. There's a little picture in my mind. I go back as a little boy. How many had a little red flyer wagon when you were a little kid? Huh? I just sat in that wagon all day, and it wouldn't go anywhere unless I had a little bit of a hill. And, you know, you pull that tongue up and hold it, and you could steer that thing. And the thing that comes to my mind is, this is a strange picture, but you got to understand, this is a strange person. Not a place to say amen, Bobby. And in my mind, I'm thinking, the paraclete is the one who gets behind and begins to push me. I do the steering. I'm in the wagon. But He's the one called alongside to help. What a great, great God we have. Father, tonight, thank You so much that we have this privilege of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. Lord, we've seen You come alongside and help us through so many things. There's been sicknesses, there's been trials, and there's been those that we've lost and that we've loved, and we've seen them go on to the grave. Lord, we've witnessed these things. We've had financial problems. We've had emotional problems. Lord, there's been those times of great spiritual problems, and yet through Your Spirit, You're there alongside. If we're willing to take that first step, if we're willing to speak to others, if we're willing to just desire Your forgiveness, how You lead us along even in all those steps. Lord, we just thank You for that. We praise Your name for it. Bless in each heart and life. Help us to be so reminded of Your presence. Lord, we talk about being Christians, but we don't always live in that kind of spirit. We live many times without even much thought of You. And only in some very desperate places do we cry out to You. Help us to realize that presence moment by moment, day after day. Glorify Yourself through it all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight.